It happened again. There's a really cool part in that song. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. That sounds like every day. Because we are, we're victors. Victors in Christ. He's already won this for us. But we're still in strife every day. But we are victors in the midst of it. These songs, man, they are some good stuff. So, again, like I said, I preached from Philippians a couple weeks ago for Tanner's wedding. And it kind of brought up some things I wanted to say for a while anyway. So I'm taking that. I kind of made it specific to how it would work for a man and wife beginning their life together. But it also obviously very much applies to each of us. So there's two kind of directions we go here. And the first one is, it is an absolute perfect picture of the gospel of Christ in six verses. Christ, who being in very nature God. So Christ, equal in every single way to God the Father. It says, in very nature, he is God. That means glory, in power, in very essence, Christ is equal to God. From the very beginning, from before the beginning of time. But he did not consider that equality with God something to be used for his own advantage, is one way it's put, or to be grasped onto or clung to. He did not consider that equality something that he absolutely had to hold on to, when he had every right to hold on to that equality. Rather, he made himself nothing. That sentence doesn't really capture what that means. So you've got Christ, who is equal to God. He created this world that we know. He was there before time began. He is the ruler of all things. And he made himself nothing. He didn't make himself just lesser than God or a lesser version of God. It uses the word nothing for a specific purpose. It says he took the very nature of a servant. This is the King of all glory, making himself nothing. Being made into human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. Christ made himself to be part of his own creation. That's something that is really, really hard to comprehend. Christ is so much more than we even fathom. Time doesn't apply to Christ. Space, size, everything that we judge, basically everything that we sense in this world, time, space, all created by Christ. They're just part of his creation. He's outside of all of that. It'd be like an author who's writing a book, putting himself in the book as a character. But in so much more of a grand way, because he's so much more than just an author. He's everything. And he made himself nothing. Again, just by saying, rather he made himself nothing, that's trying to put something really big into human terms. Similar to the beginning by saying he's in very nature God. Christ is God, but yet is separate. Another thing that we cannot comprehend at this point. Someday, maybe. I'm not sure if we'll care at that point, if we'll be with him. But those are things that blow my mind. Like, I read that, and I have a tough time understanding it, let alone getting up here and explaining it. So Christ, the creator of all things, the ruler of all things, the prince of peace, the high priest, the everything, made himself to be nothing. Humbled himself in becoming obedient to death. Now all of this was not a requirement. Christ wasn't required by the Father. He didn't say, Christ, you have to become nothing and become obedient to death. Christ was equal to God. It says that. In very nature, he was God. He chose to become nothing. He voluntarily became nothing, obedient to death. To be required would seem to say that the beginning point wasn't equal, that God would have to have a higher point, a higher level than Christ to say that you are required to do anything. So in any of this, Christ could have said no. Christ could have said, no, I don't want to give up my level, my position. But he didn't. He willingly took on that role of becoming nothing and becoming obedient to death. He willfully took this position simply for the love of his Father and the love of his Father's will. And his Father's will was to save those people that were his. Then it moves on and becomes absolutely victorious. Now it talks about, well, it says obedient to death, but not even just death. It says to death, even death on a cross. So it's not just death. When someone was hung on a cross, it was meant to say that that person was cursed. And that is absolutely appropriate in this situation. Christ was cursed by his own Father. He came to this world, became nothing, became a servant to those that he created, to his own creation. Became subservient to man in a way that he would be put to death at the hands of these men and cursed by his own Father. And he didn't have to do any of this. It was not required. He could have stopped it at any moment. He says to Peter, shortly before they take him away, I could call legions of angels right now and put a stop to this immediately. And he could have. He could have done that in the very beginning or all the way up until the end. He could have stopped all of it. But he did not. Because he knew it had to be done. He knew his Father's will. He loved his Father and would do anything to please his Father. And to please his Father, he would save all of those that his Father gave him. And he was victorious. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That at that name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is our Lord to the glory of God the Father. So, verses 6 through 11, Philippians 2, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is God. He subjected himself to becoming nothing, to death on the cross, to be cursed for all the sins of his people. And he did it in the perfect, most victorious way possible, and is now at the right hand of the Father ruling over the world. That is the simplest declaration of the gospel there is, and it's the truth. But when you go back to verse 5, it says, right before all of that, depending on which version you've got. One of them, it says, in your relationships one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Your attitude should be the same of that as that of Christ Jesus. Right before it declares exactly what Christ's attitude was. What was that mindset? What was that attitude? First, again, Christ was described as equal to the Father. He was in very nature God. He did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Christ's love for his Father was proved in this. Though he was equal with the Father, he relinquished his divine rights and privileges, taking a subservient position in order to fulfill his Father's desires. And he was under no requirement to submit to that. He was under no natural requirement to submit. He did it only out of love. love for his Father and love for his Father's will. That is the mindset of Christ. He submitted himself to something we can't even describe, let alone understand. The kind of, I don't even know what to, demotion certainly doesn't cover it, but the kind of fall that he took from where he was to where he went, he did that simply out of love for his Father and his Father's will. Submitted himself in the very most basic definition of that word. So if it says that's how we're supposed to be in our relationships, the same mindset as Christ. It says God created all men and women as equals, husbands and wives as equals. It is written, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. All men created equal. We as Americans are pretty familiar with that phrase, all men created equal. It can obviously be found in the Declaration of Independence. In that initial document of our founding country, it was meant in a different way than what I'm talking about today. In the Declaration of Independence, when they say all men are created equal, and I'll get the rest of this correct, that are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So that's making the point that all of us are equal. No one is better than anyone. We all deserve the freedoms that are given to us by living in this country. No one is better than anyone else. And we all deserve the same. What this is saying today is not exactly the same as that. When it says all men are equal, it's talking about the exact opposite, about being better than anyone else. What it's saying is that we are no worse than anyone else. We all are on the same level, but we're all on a really bad level. We're all extremely in need of some sort of hope, some sort of salvation. Each and every one of us in this world are equal in that mindset. Equal, deserving, so we are 100% equally sinful in every way. And equally deserving, not the prosperity of America, we're all equally deserving the judgment and wrath of God. That's the difference. We're all dead in our sins with absolutely no hope on our own. No way out. Can a dead person improve their predicament? Absolutely not. And we're all, every one of us, equal in our sin and death. This happened at the very beginning with Adam's original sin, and we continue to add to it every second of every day. So knowing this, how do we take this scripture and apply it? In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. This was Christ's mindset. He is God, completely equal to the Father, subjecting himself to a demotion of magnitude that we can't comprehend, simply out of love for his Father and for the people that the Father has given him. So just like Christ, we have equality to each other. But we are not to consider that something to cling to. We are to love others, all others. We are not to put ourselves above anyone. We are not to, this is going to sound weird, especially in the climate, the political climate of today, we are not to be offended. And that is something that's hard for me to say. But it is. It's true. We have no right to be offended. Christ had every right to say throughout this entire process of salvation, to say, no, I am God. I won't subject myself to this. But he didn't. So how can we think of ourselves as above anyone? If Christ wasn't offended at the idea of dying for scum like me and you, how can we be offended by anything another man does? I read a book a long time ago called Unoffendable. It was okay. There was some really good stuff in there. You had to wade through some junk. But that was the basic premise of this book. We have no right to be offended by anything, because we are no better than anyone. We are equally corrupt and vile as every man and woman on earth. To be offended means you actually hold yourself up a little higher than whatever you're offended by. Can you honestly say you're better than anything? That you can put yourself above anyone? We don't have that right. If Christ, who is God, who is perfect, who is good and pure and wonderful in every way, is willing to love us and die for us, despite our sin, how can we, who are corrupt, who are stained, who are sinful, possibly be offended by another man? We have no right. So love. It says to have the same mindset as Christ. Love. Love others. Love those people you disagree with. Love those people that push your buttons. Love those people that drive you crazy. Easy to say. Really hard to do. But it's still true. You're no better than them. If Christ didn't think of himself as too good for you, how can you think that you're too good for anyone? And honestly, not only is this a good thing in the fact that we're trying to keep the same mindset as Christ, but this will be great for your life here. I mean, it'll make your life and time here better if you can let go of anger and being offended and walking around this world like you're just so frustrated and fed up with everybody. Let go of that. Focus on love and how incredibly loved you are by Christ. He thinks you're precious. Who cares what's going on in this world? You will live a happier life that way. Now, am I good at this? No. I'm possibly the worst. But that doesn't make it any less true. So, when I started going through this, I was drawn directly to verse 6 through 11. And that's the gospel of Christ. And it brought me back to that fifth verse where it says, this is your attitude, it should be the same as Christ Jesus. So this is a little different for me. Generally, when I preach, I don't talk about much about us. I don't like to. But when the Bible specifically says, this is how you should be with each other, we should listen. I mean, it specifically says those words. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And then it specifically says, he gave himself up out of love for his Father. He didn't hold himself in a position that he easily could have. He deserved. Then we can't either. We don't deserve it, first of all. We were never in a position of power or a position of glory. So love people. Love each other. Love others. Just love. But I still want to come back to the fact that the best part of this is still verse 6 through 11. What Christ has done for us. That's the gospel, and that's what truly matters. And honestly, if that's what we keep in our hearts and keep in our minds daily, then loving others becomes a lot easier. When you can continuously remember each day, and this is what I pray for all the time, is that God just make me remember how loved I am by him. If you keep that as the first thought in your mind, everything else falls into place. You'll still have difficulties, you'll still have tough times, you'll still have tough days, but what can overshadow that? Nothing. That's the answer. Nothing can overshadow that. So remember and pray to remember and pray for me to remember. I'd appreciate that. What Christ did for his people, the position he was in, the position he put himself in, what he went through, what he did for you specifically, each person by name. It wasn't just for an entire group that he was just hoping, you know, just thinking of it as a group. He knew each one of you specifically as he was going through every moment of his life. Every person of his is so precious to him. Remember that as you go through your life, as you go through your day. If you can keep that in the forefront of your mind, you will love others. It will happen. The anger that you walk around with, and when I say you, I mostly mean me. I'm not pointing at anybody here. I walk around with anger. This world makes me mad. Can't help it. Just does. People drive me crazy. There are certain things that drive me nuts. I could list them. I'm not going to. No one cares. But if you can keep in front of all those thoughts, pray that God keeps in front of all those thoughts, Eric, you are loved by Jesus Christ. Everything else tends to fade away. Isn't quite as vivid. Isn't quite as powerful. You still have to deal with those things, but if you can keep that in your mind and keep that thought strong, and I'm not good at it, but I pray for it all the time. And it's not up to you. I mean, keeping it in your forefront of your mind, yeah, of course, try. But if you're saved, you're saved. That's over. That part's done. I'm just talking about getting through each day, trying to love others like we're supposed to. You know, saved is finished when Christ did it. The minute Christ said it was finished, it was. But we're still here. We're still living each day. We're still going through this world that is absolutely cursed in every way. So we have to deal with these things. But man, we have the truth. We have Christ. We have the fact that we're precious to Him, that we belong to Him. That trumps everything that can ever happen to you in this world. And there's some terrible things that can happen. I'm not trying to say, and I hate to even say that out loud. But it does trump everything. So, yeah, we're supposed to keep the same mindset and frame of mind as Christ by loving others. Well, it's a lot easier to do that when we just keep remembering and thinking about what Christ has done for us. If Christ has done that for us, we are permanently and forever loved by Him. Everything's good. Even when things feel bad, everything's good. I'm just going to end right there. So we will... actually, let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your love. We thank You that Your mindset is love. That You love Your Father so much and His will that You would love us the way You did and the way You still do and show it in the way that You have in doing what You have done for us, giving Your own blood and be cursed by Your own Father that we can be loved and be Yours forever. Please bless us all in the way that we can remember that each day. Help us to look to You, not to ourselves, not to this world. Help us look to You and Your love and Your permanent, powerful salvation that is finished, that we can have strength and hope and joy and rest in. Help us, Lord, just to be so thankful, to remember and think of you every day. Know that you have finished everything that is necessary for us to be loved and be saved by you. We pray all of this, Lord, knowing that you listen and you love us. We pray this in your name. Amen.